Kobe Bryant off balance. Yeah. And Shaquille O'Neal is there. Bryant, touchdown FAU.
And Sulemar surely heading back to the Premier League.
The Denver Nuggets stand on top of the NBA world.
The Philadelphia.
Hello and welcome to Cheers from the Press Box. I am your illustrious host, Headphone Joe, and I'm here with my good host, co-host, and friend, and all-around buddy, as always.
What's up, everybody? Brennan Tassif coming to you live from the city that never sleeps. I'm just a good co-host, but I'm a good friend, too. So take that.
Really good friend. So I'm not gonna hold you guys. Football happened all up and down Sunday, so we're not gonna waste much time. We're gonna get right to it. Then we got some NBA to discuss as well, and then a lot of other things in the quick hits, very packed quick hits. We're gonna touch on each of these things that we'll get to, but let's jump right into it. Brennan?
That was the wrong sounder, but okay.
That was the wrong sounder. Thank you.
Ready to return the opening kickoff. Perfect way to kick off. Here we go.
Sorry, I hit it like four times to test the sound, and I just muscle memory went back to it again. Brennan?
Yeah.
Do you have the time?
I do have the time. In fact, actually, it is time for Game of the Week. Game of the Week.
Game of the Week. We were spoiled with another classic, Brennan. Bills.
The NFC Conference. Chiefs. Oh, I'm sorry. What?
What happened there? The Bills at Chiefs. Was it Arrowhead Stadium? Is that a company?
No.
Okay, I was gonna say it's just for. So they don't have naming rights on their stadium, huh?
Nope.
That's crazy.
They have it on the field, if I'm not mistaken. It's G.
Oh, it's like G-H-A field. Good point. G-E-H field at Arrowhead Stadium. Huh, interesting. Brennan.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts?
Disappointed for Josh Allen. That's my guy. But I don't want to hear about the fourth and one. I don't want to hear about.
I want to hear about it, but for different reasons.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, they lost the game. The refs didn't.
Run a better play.
Yeah. And then, and I mean, they beat this horse to death on the broadcast, but.
Go a different direction, maybe.
The doing the sneak to the left. And the like, literally, they didn't say it in the beginning of the broadcast, but then by the third time they did it, Romo was finally like, yeah, Spagnuolo told us that they always go to the left, so we're just going to overload the left. I'm upset that the James Cook touchdown, which was...
lost to history.
Yeah, it was an epic score where he balances on one hand and pushes the ball over the line. That was so magnanimous. That was such a cool way to score a touchdown, and no one's going to remember because they lost after some wild technical difficulties. We're back.
I was going to try to play it off, but you know, I'm going to keep that in.
The thing that really,
we were talking about Romo and them calling out the fact that they knew they were going to run left. I knew they were going to run left. They ran left every single time they attempted it. And like you said, Spags obviously had the book on them. This game was for the taking by the Bills.
Yep. Three separate times.
I think Sean McDermott went for two too early. Mm-hmm. Way too early.
Way too early.
And then I think the same thing that I accused the Ravens of doing last week. And last year, the Bills did. Everybody, when they play the Chiefs, this is the greatest thing the Chiefs have. It's not It's not the coaching. I'm being facetious, obviously. Like, they have a lot of great things. But the secret sauce, it's not the coaching. It's not Spags. It's not Patrick Mahomes. It's not Travis Kelce. It's not Chris Jones. It's you. The they referees. Make oh, you sorry. Believe that you. What are you going to say?
I said the referees.
No. They make you believe that you have to play different in order mm-hmm. to beat them. You think there's something so special on that side. We have to do something out of character. We have to change who we are in order to beat them. The Bills were up in this game. Brennan,
yeah.
Guess how many carries James Cook had for the game?
He had like 7 or 9, something like that, right?
No. At one point, he had like 7 carries for 61 yards. But okay, for the
that
game,
might be the graphic I'm thinking
for
of.
For the totality of the game, he had 13 carries.
Okay, so I wasn't that far off.
You know how many yards he had?
Oh, 85.
He had 85 yards and 2 touchdowns on 13 carries. Hey, Sean McDermott, Joe Brady, you know what you should do? Spam the running back. They couldn't also stop him.
Yeah, I actually heard some Jeff Saturday. I actually heard talking about this, which is very poetic. It's very kind of lockstep with exactly what you're saying. Was when he played for the Colts and they had Manning and Dungy and they had like Hall of Famers
they had
all
like
over
four
the field.
Plays.
He said they would beat our brains in every year, and every year we like could not get over the hump of the Patriots. Remember, like when the Patriots, it was always like Peyton Manning has better stats, yeah. but Tom Brady has the better team.
He wins.
And, yeah. And he said week one, they played against the Patriots. They ended up losing because Edgerrin James fumbled on the 1 yard line. But he goes, you know what we did? We ran the same play 36 times. And we realized we don't need Peyton Manning because they lost by 3 points. They missed he fumbled the ball. They got the ball back and then missed a field goal to lose the game by 3.
Damn.
And that's, he said that was the kind of changing of the guard when they realized, oh, we don't need Peyton Manning to throw it all over the yard to try to beat the Patriots and Tom Brady. Cause he mainly said their defense, cause they had so many Hall of Famers on that defense, but he goes, we could just run it down their throats. And even though we lost that game, that's what
it
we
let
realized.
You know something. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we realized is we don't have to play different. We don't have to play out of character. We can just play our game. And to your point, that's exactly what the Chiefs instill in these other teams is, no, you're going to have to play different because this is Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, and the Chiefs. You got to play different.
You got to play different. You have to do something else. Lamar Jackson last year, you should probably, your instincts would tell you to run, but you need to throw the ball because that's the only way you're going to beat us.
Yeah, do, and this is another big thing is even if they know what you're going to do, and Spags does, make them stop it.
Yeah.
And I thought it was insane that he held on to that crazy corner blitz until the last play of, because I was waiting for it the whole game. I was like, where are these exotic blitzes going to be?
You know what's coming.
And then on 4th and 5, he runs out and Josh Allen literally gets the snap and is like, oh shit, oh shit.
Yeah.
Oh. The fact that he got that ball off
is crazy.
And it was even catchable is insane.
When he threw that up, I was like, oh, well,
I thought it was
there's
a duck.
The
yeah.
game. I'm like, he just threw up a duck. And
I
then it's like,
the same
holy shit, Kincaid is, I didn't know who it was actually. I was like, holy shit, somebody's there. Two people are there. Oh, yeah. Somebody caught, oh, nope. No, he didn't. Oh no!
There's a lot of conspiracy theories online that they threw a flag and then waved it off because there was an incomplete pass.
What's the name? The Romo and Nance thought they saw a flag.
Yeah.
Said a flag was thrown. So then the flag graphic came up, and then they're like, "Oh, actually, there is no flag. We were
it just made me laugh because these people who don't even look into it are like, "Yo, there was a flag."
Yeah.
The Bills lost this game. You have no one to blame but themselves.
Yeah.
It wasn't. And that's the thing that's so frustrating. And
I hate that people. Sorry to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
I hate. Because so like I listened to Le Batard today. I listened to Dominique Foxworth, Around the Horn, PTI. Friend of the show. and this is kind of like last week where I feel like I'm a crazy person because I'm the only one saying, like, if you're getting 6.5 yards a carry with your running back, probably just keep giving it to your running back. Like, everybody's trying to figure out what went wrong.
They were keying on Josh.
Kincaid dropping the catch. Oh, this thing and this thing. It's like, well, I mean, to me, it's you didn't do what you were good at.
You kind of abandoned
what you were good at.
We've talked about this all year. We've talked about it for the 4 years we've been doing this show. Since back when Devin Singletary was their running back, every week we would come on here and go, Josh Allen is awesome. He's Superman. There's no denying that. But run the fucking ball, dude.
Literally.
And they finally did it this year. Just like similarly to the Eagles, they started doing it this year. And we're like, hell yeah. And then in the most important spot, the most important game, they were like, we're going to put it all on Josh's shoulders again.
And you didn't need to. Like,
you didn't need to. You didn't have to.
I think, and obviously we'll get to this game later, but I think that's the difference in how everyone's talked about the four quarterbacks in these games. All week, I heard how, oh, Jalen Hurts is the worst of the four. And it's like, okay, maybe so, you know, whatever. Jaden Daniels has been playing out of his mind. Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen's Josh Allen. The difference in why the Eagles can get to the Super Bowl and the Buffalo Bills and the Ravens can't get past that hump is it's a team game at the end of the day.
Yep.
And Jalen said in his press conference, I'm not here for the individual stats. I don't care if I'm the reason we win or not. The point is to win the game. And if that means I got to hand it off 30 times, I'm going to hand it off 30 times. Because that's the best thing we can do in this spot. It's not, let's drop Josh Allen back just because we need it. It goes back to this game is just getting me right now. It goes back to the fucking Marshawn Lynch play. Yeah. We can run this or we can try to make our quarterback somebody. Well, just win the game.
Yeah, the thing that bothers me the most about it is the fact that I understand the instinct, which is if Josh drops back, he can take off. But they keyed on him. They keyed on him so hard that he was
before this fourth down play. Like, I'm thinking you should not be in that final play.
I'm talking about in general. They were running out of the shotgun so often because they're like, well, if there's nothing there, Josh will take off. And I'm assuming that was the thought process for Sean McDermott was, well, if he's in the shotgun, at least he can see the field and take off. And it's like, but you finally got out of that mode this year and you were waxing teams with a team that between the injuries and between key losses at certain positions, Stephon Diggs leaving, like things like that. Nobody thought you guys
would be in this position.
People
thought this was a rebuilding year.
100%. And anybody who says I had the Bills either was going super zag or is a liar. I remember when the season started, I was like, well, Josh is going to have to make some sort of leap on top of all the leaps he's made for this team to even be relevant. And they stuck to the run game. And James Cook was an admiration. And now all of a sudden, they were like, let's give it back to Josh. Let's give it back to Superman. And
yeah, let's ask him to do everything.
The impossible.
And you would think with the way the game started, Josh Allen tried to throw 3 interceptions on 2 pass attempts.
You literally put in the Discord. He's trying so hard to throw a pick. I came out because I was folding clothes in the other room and I came out and we both had the game on because Tracy was like, I want to watch the Bills because a lot of our friends are Bills fans. Mm. So I come out of the bedroom because I was watching it in the bedroom and she's in the living room and she goes, I don't know. Josh Allen doesn't look great. They said something about he's probably nervous. And I was like, oh my God, babe, don't listen to Tony Romo.
And then you see the pass. Did you miss the first 2 passes?
No, I saw them, but he's fine. Because at this point, we still had hope that they'd win the game. The other thing I want to say is, and everyone knows how I feel about Travis Kelce and the Chiefs and so on and so forth, But the fact that Mahomes, when he would, because sometimes he's a whiner and sometimes I hate it. I hate when he gets up and he's looking for the flag and throwing his arms up. I didn't see maybe a one when he threw that pass and he got laid out pretty good. But other than that, he was staying in bounds. He was taking hits. He wasn't looking to the refs. He wasn't looking to get bailed out. He's like, and that's what the thing I do love about Patrick Mahomes' greatness is in games like this. He's like, no, we're going to fucking play. Let's play. Let's play.
And the thing that just trips me up with the Bills, man, is like you have all four of these quarterbacks in this championship round are mobile quarterbacks.
Yep.
All of them are mobile quarterbacks. Three of the teams put into their install, their offensive installs for the week and for every week pretty much, but the Chiefs usually don't, but for this week, let's get some RPOs in there because it confuses people. Mm-hmm. The Bills are like, nah,
we're good. Nah,
we're going to drop back and then he might run. We're never going to design something where it's a little, or we're just going to snap it and run. We're not going to try to play action or fake it. Nah, we're just going to straight up. Like, you have to do something.
I do love on paper. Like, if you take this game out of it, if I just said gun to your head, you could have all four of these quarterbacks are considered mobile quarterbacks. And it's the white guy that everyone's the most afraid of.
Yeah, he's the big,
he's the big one. Just, you know, a little dub for us. You know what's but up? Like,
my thing. Oh, we'll talk about a dub for you guys in the next game. But my thing is like, so let's go back to the fourth down that they didn't get. The fourth and five, the fourth and one. They had just ran that play. They just ran their version of the tush push on third and one, and they didn't get it. Why not go to a different play there? Like, that even trips me up. Why not go, and obviously this game came on after the Commanders Eagles game. There was a fourth down the Commanders had where I was like, that is the smartest thing you can do right there. And they scored a touchdown off of it where they lined up Jaden in the backfield with his running back next to him. I can't remember which running back it was, but it was a fourth and five and they just ran a speed option.
Yeah.
And he kept it.
Yeah.
And exactly, he made a cut.
It was Eckler. Like, I remember that. Yeah.
Just do.
Because he looked like he looked like he might
pitch it. Then he cut around and then cuts it. And like
Terry McLaurin getting the block on that one, too. That was key.
Just
the backside block.
Just do something different. That's the thing that just, I just got confused by the Bills. Like, I knew they would lose in this fashion because they're like a team that just can't get out of their own way. They're like that. That homegirl, you know, that homeboy that keeps dating the wrong person, they say. And it's like,
they're addicted
to
chaos.
Be the wrong person.
Yeah.
The equation might be, you might be the problem in this equation.
Yeah, and it's heartbreaking because.
Sorry, I got to mention. Josh Allen did the pitch. I almost forgot. I just remember Josh Allen did the pitch.
Yes,
he did. On the 2-point conversion that they didn't get, that was the same play.
Samuel, and he was just like, nope. It is sad to see, because that's the thing about sports, and that's the thing we love about sports is like, you know, if you work hard and swing for the fences, then anything's possible. And to see Josh just so defeated in that, I don't know if you saw the post game. I didn't watch it, but I saw a bunch of clips
online.
And just to be so, because a reporter even was like, what is it about this team? And he was like, you guys can't beat them. And he was just like, you could see it in his eyes. He's like, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to say right here?
So much time. There's all so many times I just want the person to say what they want to say. Because in that moment, there's not even like an answer. It's just like, what the fuck are you asking me? Like,
what's wrong with you?
Yeah, like. Terrible question. Move on. Next.
The people want to know. Well, you could check my AFC championship from last year, what I said, and the year before what I said. The thing that's tough, and you see this a lot in college football, is what do you do? Not roster wise, but like you can't fire Sean McDermott. He's taking you to the AFC championship like four out of 5 years. See, that's what I was thinking too.
I think you can. And I'm going to go to a different sport for this. many a time in hockey, okay, they will fire a coach mid-season.
That like just was in the playoffs the year
like,
before.
Just was playing, like, yeah. Like the Boston Bruins fired their coach who had them, what 2 years ago? Almost the best record ever in all of hockey NHL history. And then last year, they also had a good record, but they lost to the Ice Cats. And then midway through, like a quarter through this season, they were like, nah, yeah, it ain't going to work again. Get out of here. And the Panthers themselves, they had not Paul Maurice, because Paul Maurice is who is the coach now. They had Antoine something or other, but he was the guy who took over after Coach Q. The scandal came out about the player in the Blackhawks. Yeah, yeah. So that coach had to leave. So we had the interim coach who then had us have one of the best point seasons or whatever. And then we lost in the playoffs first round. And then some people would ride with the guy who just had like an awesome season. And the Panthers were like, you're not going to do it. Get out of here.
Well, like, you've seen the NBA too. There's plenty of teams that make changes. There's teams, I mean, look at Nick Nurse's career. There's like he took Toronto to a championship. And then like 2 years later, they're like, this isn't working.
Yeah, this isn't working.
So I just don't know if that happens in the NFL.
It doesn't. It doesn't. And I think that's often the problem. There's too much scared money in the NFL.
Yeah.
Nobody's and also, willing to take risks like that.
We talk about this, but the team that wins the Super Bowl is normally the team that's healthiest at the end of the year. This is something, and then we can move on unless you have something else you want to add. No, but this is something I noticed.
There's so much in this game I still need to talk about.
This is something I've noticed is when you're watching a game and you can kind of feel like you're going to score too quick. You can't give this much time to the team you're playing, things like that. And that is something I think you can also see on a larger level. Where like they're talking about, God, I forgot his name, but the guy who came, the DB that came back from a concussion, and Tony Romo literally goes, if he gets hurt, they're going to lose this game.
Oh,
and the next play he gets, Bernard. Yeah. And it's one of those things where it's like, if you get healthy at the wrong time, like if you get healthy going into the playoffs and then you lose three guys in the wild card and divisional round, it's like, well, now you're fucked. You should have just hoped you could win. But it is a weird thing where it seems like, because the Chiefs had a lot of injuries this season. Not a lot, but they had injuries this season. But it seems like everyone's
Hollywood
getting
Brown
healthy.
Is just getting back.
Yep.
Pacheco's just getting back.
Yeah, everyone's kind of getting healthy at the right time. And, I mean, we saw it with Detroit. They
Pacheco
were
only had,
this,
like, a couple carries. But.
Yeah, but it's one of those things where they're like, if we're going to win this game, we're going to need him for the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think they just, you know, they lost a couple key defensive backs, and it was just bad timing. They lost. They were already playing out without their safety, who was playing like a man possessed in the wild card game. And then Bernard went out, and it was just kind of like, yeah, that's it. They were keying on Elam like much
for
that
sure.
Tony
for
Romo was like, yeah, I don't. You got to have to try to hide this guy on defense.
So one of the other things I wanted to bring up was the fact that, before I want to get into a little bit of the absurd, Jessica Smetana made a great suggestion on the Levitard show back to replacing Sean McDermott. You know who the Bills should go get as their coach?
Who?
Spags.
Just
get him out of there. just kneecap them by taking him away. That might help.
We might not win, but neither are you.
Exactly. We're both going down. I thought that was good.
That's like a real Brennan move.
Yeah.
Taking you down, but I'm going to burn this whole building in the process.
But on a more interesting note, I don't know if you saw in the Discord today, but I went back and I kept going back. Because the problem with Discord apparently is you can hit the search button, you can find what you're looking for, but then you want to reply to it so everybody sees it new, but I couldn't reply to it. So I had to go back to April 25th, Brennan. You know what happened on April 25th?
No, what happened?
The draft took place on April 25th, the first round of the NFL draft.
Oh, yeah.
You remember what happened in the first round towards the
end? I did see you bring this up.
The Bills traded their first round pick to the Kansas City Chiefs when both teams needed receivers because the Bills had just lost Gabe Davis and Stephon Diggs. And the Chiefs drafted Xavier Worthy, who had 6 catches for 85 yards and a touchdown. Brendan, you want to know if anybody had over 80 yards for the Bills receiving yesterday?
You're burying the lead. Obviously not.
No one. No one. No one did.
Don Kincaid would have had he caught that ball.
I don't think so.
No? 27 yards?
Nah, he only had 13 yards in the game.
Oh, God.
2 catches, 13 yards. The closest person was Mac Hollins, because that big catch that he had.
Beautiful touchdown.
Yeah. God. He had 73 yards. Their leading receiving on receptions was 6 from Khalil Shakir, 46 yards. But yeah, it's just the Bills have this is a super sliding doors situation with these two franchises.
Yep.
Because it didn't hit me until Mike Ryan said it on the Levitard show. The Bills traded the Chiefs the pick to get Patrick Mahomes as well.
Mm-hmm. Stop trading with the Bills.
And we stop trading with the Chiefs.
When it happened, I remember a lot of people were making fun of it because they're like, how many times does this have to happen before they learn?
How many times are you going to realize, hey, you know what we're not going to do? Help our biggest roadblock.
Yeah.
If our roadblock is calling us for something, they must know something we don't. So yep. Even if we get the wrong person, we're not going to let them get this guy now.
Yeah. You're going to have to take him later.
Like, he's either going to have to fall for you or you're going to have to trade with somebody else. I'm not going to be the butt of the joke again to give you the person that's going to torch us in the moment where we need it most.
This is a real Joe. What's the GM's name over at New York?
Joe Shane?
Yeah, this is a real Joe Shane moment.
Oh, man. But the Kansas City Chiefs, they win the game. Patrick Mahomes ends up making more plays than Josh Allen.
They just executed.
Well, I mean, they executed, but he got them down to get the field goal. Hey, you, as the Bills, you want to be the team holding the ball last. You have like 3 minutes and the length of the field to go. And again, they abandoned the run. They had 3 minutes. You can still run the ball in that time. You had all 3 timeouts. You had the 2-minute warning. Pass, 4th and 5, pass, and it's over.
And they actually, you know, I said the Chiefs executed. The Chiefs made some mistakes. You know, they had the fumble.
They
and
had
then,
the fumble. They had the sole, well, yeah, they had the only turnover. Only turnover. In the game.
Yeah. And then not only that, but, oh, Josh Allen was trying to give him one. But
he tried. He fumbled 3 times.
I know. But that one where he, as he's getting sacked, he picks it back up. That was crazy. Insane. But crazy. The thing that's interesting is when the Chiefs player, I think it was P. Ryan, catches the ball on the screen, or maybe it was Hollywood Brown. Someone catches a ball short and then runs out of bounds to make it. They get the first down, but they run out of bounds. So it stops the clock.
This is at the end of the game?
Yeah. So I thought it was Hollywood Brown.
But, I know Piron gets a catch that pretty much iced the game.
He ends the game, but before before Hollywood Brown, I think, catches the ball and then he gets the first down, but then runs out of bounds. So he stops the clock. So they're like, okay, well, they got the first down, but they stopped the clock. So the Bills are right back in the same position where it's like, okay, there's a minute 40 left.
And then
if you call
the
these 2 timeouts and stop them. Yeah, and then P. Ryan gets it's 3rd and 8, and P. Ryan gets the first down, and you're like, you guys could have gotten the ball back. Josh Allen has ended all these games without the ball in his hands.
By the way, P. Ryan got that effectively on the play that the Bills were trying to run on the 4th and 5.
Yeah.
Instead, they had, was it Shakir that was running out into the flat?
Mm-hmm.
And Josh, I mean, the blitz is coming from this way. Obviously, he recognizes the blitz. He flushes right instead of going left. If I think he goes left, it's an easier pass to make.
Yeah.
Obviously.
There's a corner coming off the other side.
Or I mean, you know it's a 4th and 5, and this goes down to coaching. You know it's a 4th and 5. you know you're playing Spags. You've done this four times in the postseason. You've done it four times in the regular season. You beat them the four times in the regular season. You know he's coming with a blitz. We got a hot route.
Yeah.
Shakir, as soon as we snap this, look for me and I'm throwing it to you.
Yeah.
If this is the play design, like I'm going to throw it to you as soon as this is effectively a screen. I'm throwing this to you immediately. It's a hot, it's an alert. This is coming out of my hands.
Fun fact, had he thrown it like a wide receiver screen, that corner was coming off a blitz. So there would have been nobody out there.
Nobody there. There was nobody there.
This is very Wedding Crashers. Because also, where he's like, hot route.
No. Because Shakir is going left. Shakir's not going right. Shakir's going left. The blitz was coming from the right. But the thing is, the rest of the defense had to rotate right to cover for the man blitzing. So you would have had Shakir open for at minimum five, potentially a break touchdown.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was just, we'll see next year. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. A great game. Another instant classic.
Yeah,
I saw a stat in their eight games, four in the postseason, four in the regular season.
Seven or less points.
Yeah, it's like 5 points. I would say like the difference in total points is like 5 points.
Yeah, it's crazy.
The Chiefs way. It's insane. All right. All right. There was another game that took place.
Did you play a sounder?
I did. Did you not hear it?
I didn't hear it. No.
Oh, I have the things...
All right, well, as long as it registered.
Correct. Okay. There was another game that took place. Redden, thoughts?
I don't have much on the NFC Championship. Jaden played well. Just too many mistakes. It's okay. We knew they weren't going to win four road games in the playoffs.
I think it's biggest. Do you know what his biggest mistake was?
What?
Doing a full dance routine down 13.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are you doing, kid?
Yeah, he had it all mapped out and stuff, too. And I was kind of like, I was happy for him, though, because every time he got popped, he's jumped back up. He's got that big smile on his face. He's like, all right. But I mean,
down 13 in the championship game, it's just not a good look. You can have fun. Down 13 in a championship game, you don't look like you're taking this seriously. You look like what it turned out to be. You're just happy to be here.
Yeah, yeah. This is actually, to be honest, the final score doesn't show it, but this was a game until about the fourth quarter.
It was a game until it wasn't a game.
Yeah, and then that's why I don't have much to say.
And then it wasn't a game at all.
The Eagles are the better team. The Eagles are the best team. I thought it was interesting that they went with the hurry up, but they didn't hurry up. They were basically like they went no huddle, but they didn't go hurry up. Because the whole thing was like, oh, if you go hurry up, you'll tire out this defense a little bit. And then that's your only chance. And the Rams, when the Eagles played the Rams went hurry up. And all of a sudden, they were saying it on the broadcast. They're like, they should have done this earlier. This is a different team when they're tired. Like, you should have done this earlier. And the Rams had a chance to win that game. And the Commanders came out no huddle. And they mentioned it on the broadcast, but they weren't hurrying up. And I think Brady was even like, I don't understand why you're going no huddle, but you're still taking the whole play clock. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah. I would say the thing is, I mean, at the same time, you're still not allowing them to make substitutions because if you're not subbing, they can't sub. But I thought after the first drive by the Commanders, I knew the game was over. Because I was like, if you're going to get an 18-play drive and get down to this point and then settle for a field goal, like you just went for the fourth down 2 seconds ago, and then this is the fourth down where you're like, all right, we can't risk it. It's like you're playing scared. And it's funny because Dan Quinn said, oh, we don't have house money. We're going to play like the rents do. You didn't play like the rent was due.
Yeah, you didn't play like that at all. When you actually realize you might have a shot in this game, all of a sudden everyone. But it's the bright lights come on and some people shrink up, and that's once they realize that we might have a shot in this game. We just went 18 plays. Let's play a little more conservative because we might be able to. And then it's like that's not that you went 18 plays because you were going for it on fourth. That's why you got the first. I wanted to
ask you.
You
had us on our heels.
Saquon Barkley, obviously, first play from scrimmage, goes in and scores.
Great play design. I want to talk about that single play after you ask this question.
How many wins do you think Saquon Barkley means to the Giants versus the Eagles? Because everyone's looking at it like he is a great running back, but at the same time, it's like, yeah, but they didn't have a good offensive line. Like, he would have been one or two.
I don't think he adds wins to the Giants that much because, like you said, they don't have the offensive line. They don't have the dynamism at quarterback where you have that you have that fear as a defender where you kind of have to respect Jalen's ability to run, obviously. You have the receivers that also, like, more people can't key in on you as much. And then you have, on the other side, a defense that's going to get you the ball.
Yeah, this is a whole rich get richer situation. So, like, yeah. Saquon is a great running back, but I say it all the time, and we talk about it on the show.
Great
all
running
the time,
backs have,
like,
to be in great
situations.
Yeah.
100%. Okay, I just want to, because I heard some people being like, how could the Giants let him go? I was like, he wouldn't be doing this on the Giants.
But the thing is, I can't say he wouldn't be doing this on the Giants because the year they got to the playoffs and won the playoff game, it wasn't because of Daniel Jones.
Yeah, no, you're
right. Like, Daniel Jones, now Daniel Jones was playing well and Saquon wasn't affecting the game as much, but that's if you're a novice viewer. What Saquon did for the Giants and what made Daniel Jones that good that season, the boxes were stacked because everybody figured they got one move. And then Daniel Jones was able to throw the ball into open windows.
Yeah. No, you're right. I just don't, I don't think he's worth wins on a bad team the way he is. The value that he has for the Eagles, I think, is so much greater than the value he would have on a bad team.
Yeah, that's 100%. I don't
what
think
were you gonna say about that? Oh, go ahead.
Okay, so for that first play, so this is something we talked about at the start of the season, and it's very interesting how it has played out throughout the season and how it played out on this play specifically. So the first play from scrimmage, the Eagles line up in essentially a bunch formation, right? And they have Cam Jurgens, who was the center all year, wasn't starting. They had Landon Dickerson in at center. And
Dickerson was playing guard most of the year, wasn't he?
He played guard all year. He hasn't played center in 4 years.
That's what they were talking about on the broadcast. And I was like, his name looks familiar. I know he's starting.
He was a center at what's his name? At Alabama. Okay. When he got drafted, I thought he was going to be the replacement.
That's what they did. Tony Romo did, or
yeah,
Brady.
Like,
did
I originally thought he would be the eventual replacement, but so Jalen lines up under center and surveys the defense, calls an audible, switches back, drops back in the shotgun. Saquon comes to his right. He recognizes that the defense has not changed, so right now the Eagles have more people lined up to, I want to say, the left side. The strong side is the right side. Devontae Smith is the receiver on the left side. Jalen calls a reload. So restart the first play. Everybody comes back. He sends Devontae in motion. This is where the play design, but the reload is his recognition. The play design, Devontae motions left, they're in man-to-man. So now you have the only man on the left side motioning out of the play. The play is then a crackback toss where you get the guard and the tackles pulling, and there's nobody there to stop Saquon. It is just now mano-a-mano. And the thing we were talking about to start the season was, without Jason Kelce there, he's the guy calling out protections. He's the one recognizing what the defense is doing. And him and Jalen, it's a collaborative thing, but he's the top dog because he's been here longer. In that one play, I 100% have faith in Jalen's ability to do this for years and years. Because to recognize that on play one and to go back, because a lot of people, a lot of quarterbacks will probably audible and call their own number. This goes back to what I said earlier. Sometimes if the best play is to hand the ball off, the best play is to hand the ball off. I'm not going to call my number just for shits and giggles. Let's go back to the play that is going to work here. And yep. Boy, did it. 60 yards in the end zone. Looked pretty fucking sweet.
Yeah, and I felt kind of bad. Bobby Wagner is like an all-pro Hall of Fame type middle linebacker, and Saquon kind of had his number in this game. There was one pass protection where Bobby Wagner comes flying in, and Saquon, he tripped over the guard, to be honest. Everyone's like, oh, Saquon pancaked him. I'm like, well, he also tripped over the guard. But still, to have the wherewithal to be able, like, Saquon has the strength and the speed and the power to actually go one, because Bobby Wagner.
And I'm stunned that what you're saying is 100% correct. I'm stunned that the Eagles didn't have Saquon in on third downs more. They had Gainwell in most of the season, but he ended up suffering a concussion. And that's why Saquon did it towards the end of the game until they brought the backups in, because Saquon is stronger and his blitz pickup at that point was better than fucking than Gainwell, because Gainwell's a little smaller, better than fucking Calcaterra, who I lamented when Dallas Goedert missed games. Like, Calcaterra, you're not either kipping long enough, you're not picking up the blocks. Like, there was a sack yesterday where I'm like, yo, Calcaterra and Landon Dickerson went for the same guy. Like, you guys can't go for the same guy.
Yeah, they left Allen wide open to, like, come right up the middle.
Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, and he threw Jalen down. I thought they were going to throw a flag on that.
No, they don't throw a flag on black guys.
It isn't. Patrick Mahomes gets every flag. What are you talking about?
You know who his wife voted for.
That is an interesting thing. I always forget Patrick Mahomes is mixed.
No, who his mom voted for.
Yeah, and the team he plays for, and his best friend's this big white guy, dating Taylor Swift. Like, come on, dude. Stop trying to co-switch on us.
Love Patrick, but
you got to think of that. The Dave Chappelle draft, the racial drafts.
Oh yeah. He's he's on a couple draft boards there.
But I mean, I don't have. I think the Gainwell thing makes sense though, because he is the pass catching back. Because Saquon has proven that he's not, so you kind of have to have him in there on third down. Because if Saquon was in, they'd be like, oh, the running back staying in to block.
But my thing is, that's fine.
Yeah,
because
no, I agree.
One of the harder things to do is throw against a blitz. One of the things we've seen Jalen have issue with is playing against the blitz.
Yeah.
So let's have more protection. I don't see why that's a negative.
I found it fascinating, too, because everyone talked about Jaden's numbers against the blitz and how they were so good, especially for a rookie. And then he played really well in this game, but it's also like, at certain points, you were like, what? What are you doing?
Yeah.
I think the Commanders have a good outlook, though, for the future. Philly is the best team. I've got Philly big.
Okay, so great game by A.J. Brown. Shout out to him. Dallas Goedert, fantastic game. Devontae Smith always has a catch that probably should be reviewed, but we get up and snap the ball too quickly.
He was out of bounds, bro.
This time, I think he got it. I think the feet were in.
It depends on what angle you looked at.
I think he got the feet in this.
No,
time.
I'm just saying that angle from the other side.
No, you're right.
You're like, he's way out. And then from that sideline, you're like, oh, no, he's in.
Yeah, it's like, oh, he's definitely in. But what I was going to say, Jalen Hurts,
giving your shout
great
outs.
With his legs. Great with his legs this game. All three of the fumbles, fantastic work. Shout out to Burks and knocking that out of Eckler's hands. De'Ami Brown getting smothered by the exciting whites and Zach Bond.
That was crazy. Bond punches DeJean's hand and it pushes
into
the ball out.
It was insane. No, he punches. It was Reed's hand. It was Reed Blankenship. Oh, okay.
No, it was DeJean's hand.
Was it DeJean and then Reed picks it up?
And then Reed picked up the ball, yeah.
That's what it was. Shout out to Nolan Smith, man. What a difference a year makes. Last year, he just couldn't.
Everyone said you're going to have to cut him.
He didn't look like what he was sold to be. And he just looked like out of place. He looked too small. He didn't seem fast enough. And obviously in this offseason, they got him the right work. He wasn't even starting this year. Brandon Graham was still he was sharing time with Brandon Graham. But since Brandon Graham suffered his injury, he's really stepped up and made a presence.
It was the old Georgia technique where you just rotate guys in.
Yeah. And then Jordan Davis had a big sack early on in the game. Great
That made me happy because he's been kind of quiet this year.
Yeah. He's been in there primarily for run stopping. Yeah. But I think that was his came first off the sideline of the year or his second
first
sack
of the year. No, first sack of the year. When he came off that sideline and everyone was like jumping on him and stuff and he had that big goofy ass smile on his face, I was like, hell yeah, man, get some.
But no, man, I was about to say Slay had some good moments. Quinyon had an interception, second of the year, both in the postseason, oddly enough. Coop had some really good plays in there. But I wanna give the shout out to the new exciting white. Will Coop. Shipley.
Oh.
Running 57 yards. And you know he's an exciting white because he couldn't get in the end zone. Anyway, he did a hell of a job. Great job out of him. He freaking burst through that hole and he was gone. I was like, holy shit. Not y'all go.
Well, he's gone until he wasn't.
Until he wasn't. But no, that was fun to see. Great game to see, man. Everything everybody talked about all week long. I paid it no mind, honestly. Yes, Jaden is really good, but we've played this team 3 times now. And the second time, the reason that I think a lot of people gave such validity to maybe the Commanders could pull this off is because they won the game where they had 5 turnovers. But everybody forgot they had 5 turnovers.
Yeah.
That the Eagles forced 5 turnovers in that game. The difference between this game and that game was the Eagles played a far more conservative game planned with Kenny Pickett, and the Commanders defense could pack the box because let's let Kenny Pickett try to beat us. I don't think it's going to happen. So it kind of neutralized Saquon for the entirety of the second half. In this game, everybody was pretty much able to go out and play to the full capabilities. And we saw what would have happened in that week 16-17 matchup between these two teams when the Eagles got up 21-7 very early. I was just happy to stomp that out and shut up a lot of people. I do want to give one shout out to a Commander, though.
Terry McLaurin.
I've never hated Scary this Terry. Guy. No, fuck Scary Terry. Scary Terry also did some shit after scoring his touchdown. Like, settle the fuck down, all right? These guys acting like they haven't been.
Real quick about the scoring the touchdown. When Saquon scored his first and he told everybody, calm down.
Even though he's running around the fucking stadium.
And then he scored, but he's not dancing. He's not doing anything.
No doubt.
And then the offensive linemen are like running up to him. He goes, chill. I was like, let's do this guy means fucking business. Where's his hard hat?
Fun fact, his birthday is on the Super Bowl. Him and Coop's birthday is on the Super Bowl. I have to look up Coop just to double check, but I would say they said there was like the IG thing where they said birthday is going to be crazy. Yeah, both of their birthdays are on the Super Bowl. Crazy. My last shout out I'll give to the Commanders. I love this guy. And when he left, he had to leave. Hoped he was coming back when he got released. But he then went to our blood rivals, which is very annoying. But obviously they had more money to pay him. Obviously, we could have used him this season with the amount of time Goddard ended up in and out of the lineup. But Zach Ertz, hell of a season. Hell of a game. Annoying because he did it for the other team. But fucking, I've always loved him as a player.
Dude, he was left for dead.
People, when he went over to Arizona, it was like, kind of putting him out to pasture, and then
good Kyler Murray guy, got hurt. Good captain.
And he was like, they're going to be nothing. But he came over here. He had a really good season, and he had a really good postseason run for them. That's that's a guy I've always really liked. That's a guy I've always
Yeah, I've always rooted for him too.
So yeah. All right. We will not discuss the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl will be discussed next week. As far as predictions and analysis and breakdown and all that good jazz. But I mean, Brandon kind of alluded to who he's picking, and I'm pretty sure everybody knows who I'm picking, but we'll actually go get into the minutiae a little more next week. So for now, we move on to the NBA. Annoying. The Nuggets lost to the T-Wolves the other day. Very annoying. Ah, we had a game tonight and we lost again. Great job, fellas. Lost to the Bulls. That's very annoying. Damn, that's very upsetting. Didn't know that. Cavs. I think the Cavs suffered two losses since we last talked at you last, but they still have not suffered double-digit losses. Only 9 losses on the season, 37 dubs. The Celtics got beat by, I want to say, the Clippers and the Lakers, or did they? No, they beat the Clippers close. They lost, but to the Lakers, big.
Yeah, that was embarrassing.
Yeah, that was crazy. And that was after beating the Warriors big. They beat the Warriors by like 40-something, I want to say.
I think it was closer to 60.
125-85. You do the math on that for me.
Yeah.
40, damn, 60. I think that's 60. Is that 60?
No, it's 40.
Okay. Look at me fucking relying on you. And then they played the Raptors. The Raptors, fuck. The Rockets. And they lost to the Rockets. Knicks on a 4-game winning streak. The Heat on a 2-game winning streak, even though Jimmy Butler is going to be suspended gone. Again. he finished suspension today. He was suspended for 2 games, came to morning shoot around, and then left morning shoot around and was suspended indefinitely.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that plays out. Sixers, 2-game winning streak, still can't crack the top 10. As you just said, the Magic had a couple losses in the last 10 games, 2-8 in their last 10. They're at 500, falling from 4 down to 7 now outside of the play.
This is crazy, too, because we were at 4 when Paolo was out and Wagner was out.
It's crazy. They came back and everything's like, the fucking Grizzlies lost a game. Why would we lose to the Bulls now? We could have been in a better position to take over the 3 spot. Thunder lost recently. Who did they lose to? There's too much games at a time. No, they lost to the Mavs. Lost to the Mavs. They beat the Trailblazers last night. The only NBA game yesterday. Very confusing. Don't know
this
why.
This is crazy. They lost to the Mavs twice in this stint. But then beat the Jazz, the Nets, and the Trail. It's like all those teams are garbage. How are you going to lose to the only good team you're playing in the last like 2 weeks?
Maybe you're not that good.
Did you just say maybe they're not that good, the Oklahoma City Thunder?
Did I say that out loud?
You are out of your mind.
Did I say that out loud? I don't think they're that good.
I'll bet you whatever you want. I'm going on a ledge.
I don't think they're that good.
This is the worst take you've ever had.
I don't think they're that good.
You are a crazy person.
I don't think they're good.
Okay.
Hey, fun fact. Actually, I think the Cavs. I have a little more belief in the Cavs. The Cavs also beat them.
Yeah, barely at home. And then they waxed them by 20.
I don't think the Thunder are that good. I think the Thunder. The Thunder are in the damn near the same position they were in last year, right? And when they went into the playoffs to play the Mavs, I picked the Mavs over them. I think they can beat up on the teams that are
Dolphins. You're saying they're the Dolphins.
I think they can feast on good to okay teams. They can beat all of the bad teams, but if a good team, because the problem with the West is also the good teams are kind of between fucking 10-5, like all those are good teams.
I have a hot take. I don't think the West is that good.
That's crazy. I think on a given night, and specifically in a 7-game series, the Thunder don't have. We had this conversation a couple years ago. Let me back up a little bit. We had this conversation a couple years ago where we talked about in the postseason, you know what you need more than anything? You need guys, plural, who can get a bucket. Thunder got one guy. If we're doing math, we got one guy. But my thing is, in a 7-game series, I can figure out how to stop one guy.
Yeah.
I can limit one guy. If you got no other guys that can get their own bucket, it's cute. It's good for regular season, but get out of my playoffs. You don't have enough guys. Mavs, they got two guys. They got two of the best guys that can go get their own bucket. The Rockets, I'm going to be honest with you, haven't seen much of the Rockets this year. The Rockets, they're good. Yeah. I know Jalen Green is very good and can get his own bucket. I know Fred VanVleet is good and they can get their own bucket. I haven't seen it, a game of them in together going, doing what they do. The Grizzle, Ja can get his own bucket. Bane, to a lesser extent, but I think they suffer from not enough guys that can get their own buckets. In the postseason Nuggets, you got mad guys. You got four guys. You got three guys that can get their own bucket, and then you have Aaron Gordon who can collect buckets.
Yeah.
Lakers, you got Bron and AD. Come on, I mean, it's all they got, but they got it. Clippers, if Kawhi is healthy, Kawhi can get his own bucket. James Harden can get his own bucket. Minnesota, that's their biggest issue. They only have one guy that can get their own bucket. The Suns, they got two guys. They got three guys in theory who can get their own bucket.
I was just about to say, on paper.
But the problem is they get the wrong buckets.
Yep.
Like they're playing the like the funniest thing is people are like, oh, if the Suns, they could trade Bradley Beal in a 4-team trade and get Jimmy Butler. And I'm like, that doesn't fix the issue that they've had for 3 seasons now.
Yeah.
They need someone to shoot threes. They keep getting the best mid-range guys. And if we're all in the mid-range, we're going to, one, clog the lane, and two, get outscored when people are shooting threes. And you still have nobody to defend Jokic. So, I mean, they're benching Yusuf Nurkic right now. Like, they're a mess. I even think the Kings have two guys that can get their own bucket. I think Malik Monk can get his own bucket, and De'Aaron Fox can get his own bucket. Sabonis can't get his own, but Sabonis can do a lot of things.
Yeah.
So that's why I don't believe in the Thunder. I think the Thunder is a cute story. I think it's very nice. I think it's great for what they're doing for the city of Oklahoma City, but until you get a second guy that can get their own bucket.
Best team in the entire NBA right now. Cute story is what Joe says.
Regular season, baby. Come on now. We just saw Patrick Mahomes coast through the regular season. I was about to say, Nick Wright has a quote where he says, the Chiefs have a 2-game season. AFC Championship, Super Bowl.
That's like, true, though.
I mean.
All right, we're at an hour.
We got a tune-up game. All right, let's keep it going. I'm sorry. Moving on.
You'd be surprised how quick.
Quick, Mamie hits.
Quick hit.
All right, quick hits. A couple things to hit on. We had a big trade in the WNBA. Where the heck is the tab here? Big trade in the WNBA. Kelsey Plum goes from the Aces to the Los Angeles Sparks. Jewel Lloyd goes from the Seattle Storm to the Las Vegas Aces. And the number 2 pick goes from Los Angeles to Seattle. Seattle is trying to get a new face of the franchise. They're hoping maybe Paige Bueckers ends up being the number 2 pick instead of the number 1 pick. That is going to be a very interesting thing to see play out. But that seismically shifts what happens for, one, the Sparks now, who have been in a bit of a rebuilding situation, trying to get some things to gel over there, getting that player. And it changes the dynamic for the Aces, because now the Aces get another person who can, you know, carry on the conversation, can get their own bucket, has a little bit different game. If you ask her to be a point guard, she's better at being a pure point guard than I think Kelsey Plum could have been. And a lot of the season, they asked Kelsey Plum to be a point guard, the Aces, because Chelsea Gray was coming back from injury. So she was out for a long period of time. And Chelsea Gray is towards the end of her career. So maybe they're also keeping an eye on that. Like, hey, we're going to need somebody to take that position eventually. So that's very interesting. Another interesting thing is Brittany Griner is not going right back as of right now to the Phoenix Mercury. She's going to test free agency for the first time in her career. She's
been wow.
her entire career, and she's going to test the waters. So that's going to be very interesting to see as well. Brennan,
do you think she gets picked up?
Yes, she's still very dominant, very good player. She adds height, depth, and skill level to any team that calls her and picks her up. Brennan, you asked me when you looked at the rundown, what is Unrivaled? Well, Brennan, Unrivaled is a new 3-on-3 women's game that was created by Nafisa Collier and Breonna Stewart. They got together with some sponsors, some other investors, and TNT, and they play 3 days a week. They play games on I think it's Friday, Saturday, and Monday. It's 3-on-3. I think there's 6 teams, and I think there's like 36 players in total. There's like 6 players on every team. Okay, yeah. It's been very fun to watch. So I didn't bring it up last week because I didn't catch any of it on the previous weekend. I saw some of it for the first time finally this weekend, and it's a really fun, fast brand of basketball. I think a lot of people are liking it. It had some of the biggest ratings on TNT with like over 300,000 people tuned in to check it out. It's full court 3-on-3, so it allows for a lot of spacing.
Wow.
As well. I think it's a condensed court. I'd have to go back and check because though it looks like a full court, I'm like, are they really running full 94? That's crazy. But yeah, it's a full court, so it's a real spread out game. Very competitive. They have Elam endings. So it gets down to the nitty gritty. It's been fun to watch. Earlier today at the gym, I was watching the Vinyl versus the Owls. The name's going to take some getting used to. But Ryan Howard was going crazy. And Alicia Gray was going crazy. Skylar Diggins was going crazy. Like, it's your favorite. It's your favorite ballers just playing unencumbered, just playing unleashed. So it's really fun. It's really cool to check out. And they got a lot of dope sponsorships and a lot of dope investors. I think like Paige Beckers has an NIL deal to advertise the league. And like, she's a brand ambassador for the league and stuff like that. Kelsey Gray is in the league. Orike Igbuwale is in the league. Angel Reese is there. Like, it's very cool. Something different, something unique. Also, it benefits the players that they don't have to go overseas to
compress full court.
Okay. They don't have to go overseas, you know, during this time where they usually will. They can hop in the Unrivaled. So now you have Unrivaled, you have Athletes Unlimited, two off season competitions that allow them to make money and stay at home. So
72 really cool. feet.
72. Okay. I was like, I'm like playing five full court right now is crazy.
The width is technically smaller, but it's only by 0.8 feet.
All right. Yeah.
It's normally 94 by 50. This one's 72 by 49.2.
Okay. I was like, man. But yeah, so check it out if you get a chance. It comes on, like I said, Friday, Saturday, and Mondays. So yeah, outside of that, huge shout out to Madison Keys winning the Aussie Open, American tennis player. I think she went 7 years between making a finals and then winning this finals. She beat four of the top like 10, 15 players on her way to do it, beating one and two, I want to say, at the end there. So huge shout out to Madison Keys. NHL, I know my Panthers lost the other day. I think it was yesterday. Who did we lose to again? It was annoying. It was like a 5-4-1 loss to the Knights. That was after beating the fucking Sharks 7-2, though. Beat the Sharks 7-2.
We lost the Red Wings by 2
the other day. Then we lost
to the Knights. We're on a bit of a losing streak. We've lost 3 out of the last 4.
Ooh, wow. You guys are sitting at 2 in the wild card right now. That is not good.
Yeah,
Bruins ahead of you guys. Maple Leafs, yep. Panthers, Senators, the Caps, Hurricane, Devils. When the heck is the All-Star break? I feel like the All-Star break should be happening very soon.
February.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying, we're like at the teams are at 50 plus games right now. In the Central, you got the Jets, Stars, the Wild. Edmonton has found their way to the top of the Pacific. Knights right behind them. Then the Kings, Avs, Calgary Flames. Huge shout out to Anderson. He and his son went to the, I think it was the Penguin Ducks game. Me and him were texting the other day. Penguin Ducks game. And I'm prone not to like Sidney Crosby, but apparently Sidney Crosby spotted Anderson and Atticus there and during warmups, and he tossed Atticus a puck.
So, get out of here, really?
Yeah. I was like, dang. You know, I want to hate Sid the Kid, but it's pretty cool. All right.
February 3rd. So, yeah, the first week of February.
So, this Monday, basically. All right.
It's time for everyone's favorite segment. I can't hear the sounder, so I'm just going based off of Joe's facial expressions. Let's talk. We're almost there, Joe.
I know. It's so awesome. So I'm going to keep this one relatively short. I tweeted, I'm just going to read what I tweeted at half.
You blue skied. You didn't tweet.
Thank you, Brennan. I blue skied. I'm going to read what I blue skied off the Foam in the South blue sky page, which I'm also co in charge of. At halftime, I posted, it was 0-0. We were playing Man U. If those of you don't know, this kind of explains it. This feels like it'll go the way of the last couple Fulham Man U games, where there isn't a goal until the 80th or so minute. Pray it'll be us this time. Well, there was a goal at about the 77th minute, and it wasn't us this time.
Wasn't us.
Like the last 5 or 6 meetings, I swear, have been a tough game. Fulham has a lot of opportunities. Nothing goes in. Second half, some adjustments are made. Then around the 60th minute, some subs are made. And then once like minute 75 comes in, it's like, all right, let's try to score. Both teams, yeah. Like both teams, like we've seen it where they scored, then we score, then they score, then we score. We've seen it where they score, then they score 2 in a row. Or it's very annoying, but we can't, for some reason, come out with the dub in the way that we should. I think we got them once last year, but we've been in the game with them really for the last 3 years now. So it's very annoying.
Yeah, totally. We'll get them. We'll get them, though, when it matters.
Well, it's the last time we're playing them this year. So,
yeah, and some people would say it matters right now.
I love to say the start of the season, we started the season with them, and the same thing happened. They scored like 2 in the 80th and 85th minute or some shit. So, but on to the press conference.
And we'll bring you the press conference in its entirety.
Brennan, where can we find you?
These sounders are a lot longer when I don't hear them. I'm like playing it in my head and I'm like, it over? No.
Now I'm scared that they're not showing at the recording.
At Brennan T Comedy on all social media, BrennanTComedy.com, revamped the website. So I tried to do this thing on Squarespace because it was like oh, just added a new template and we'll transfer all the information over. It doesn't do that. It doesn't do that because obviously a new template is a completely new design. So you have to basically re-enter everything. So I just use the same template and just kind of revamped it a little bit. BrennanTComedy.com. Check out my other podcast, Ex-Drinking Buddy, Your Ex-Drinking Buddy, where I have a guest on to talk about their best and worst drinking, drug, party, and getting in trouble stories. This week, Dallas comedian Russ Jenkins is on talking about when he used to work as an engineer for underground mining, getting drunk in China, and they had to call the U.S. Embassy. His ex-wife did. It's an insane tale. So check that out. Joe, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Joe Dorval. You can find the show's Twitter and Instagram at Hearing Press. Don't forget to check out all the other shows on the Anulo Network. That is Who Does a Podcast. That is Anulo itself. You can check out my music under the moniker Headphone Joe. No O, no E. Moniker is not the right word. Cause I think moniker is like a one name thing because mono. I don't know why I'm thinking this like 200 episodes in. you can check me out under the pseudonym Headphone Joe. No O, no E in the phone. Music on all DSPs, STV, TV Season 2, 30, and outside. You can also check out my merch at headphonejoe.etsy.com. Again, no O, no E in the phone there. I think that's it. Brennan, let's get out of here because I waxed poetic on the Chiefs-Bills game way too much.
No, you're right. A moniker is another word for a nickname or an alias someone might use. For example, The Rock, The King of Pop. These are all monikers.
Let's go.
So you've been using it right. And that's why we play the game.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, Brent, huge shout out. So confused.
Huge shout out. Liam Cohen. Everybody in Tampa, calm down. All right. Relax.
Crazy 2 days.
Chill. Freaking chill.